Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog.
Dude, I was out on Friday night and...
You were still feeling it yesterday?
I needed some pea soup and a tuna sandwich badly.
And six assists?
On TSN 1050, making your drive home a lot more fun.
Hour 2, Overdrive, TSN 1050, and on the TSN Go app, Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, Steve Phillips will join us, our Blue Jays analyst at 5:30, opening weekend for the Jays. Big weekend for the Jays. I'm hoping it's just a party all year. I'm hoping they come out of the gate strong and people just enjoy themselves and it's just a fun, low-stress year. I hope they do what Kansas City did a year ago. Because the Royals, you know, they surprised a lot of people a couple of years ago by making it all the way to the World Series. And then a lot of people were thinking they'd have a tough time replicating that success. And
what's the chatter about opposite. Them repeating or being real good again?
Oh, they're going to be very good. There's a lot of people that think the Royals could get back to a World Series. So, you know, it's not going to be easy for the Jays. But I think if you're a fan, you know, this is what we've been waiting for. It's been a very hectic offseason. With Anthopoulos leaving and Beeston and the Cleveland crew rolling through town and David Price signing in Boston. But all that white noise, let's start playing the games. Let's get rocking here. And, again, I think, you know, the Rogers Center, it should be absolutely party central in the city for the next 5 or 6 months. Thursday, Friday, Saturday tickets against AL East. Like, you know... An event is buzzing and is a hot commodity when the scalpers are making it rain.
Yeah.
Like, I was thinking about that last night. Like, usually you can get a read on how a team is doing and what kind of buzz they're creating just based on the scalpers.
Yes, because in the last couple of years, Toronto not playing well, the Maple Leafs.
They're getting crushed.
Really?
They're
getting down there
crushed.
Like those guys are trying to give them away? Like just
well, no, but they're not.
Real close. There are times where, like, if you went to a Maple Leaf game...
And you're 10 minutes late.
There's no way you're paying face value. No way you're paying face value. Where now Blue Jays, like, next weekend when the Sox are in town, on Friday night for the home opener, you're going to have to pay triple. Maybe more than that.
Yeah.
Even if you show up in the third inning, they're going to be like, sorry, dude, you got to pay top dollar for these tickets. Because, you know, the scalping...
Is it illegal?
Yeah, it is illegal.
So
but the thing
they
is,
round these guys up and
well, because it's always been it's actually beneficial for people that are looking for tickets last minute, because what happens is the scalpers they buy up all of these tickets,
right?
So you can't get your hands on them even if you wanted to. You almost have to go through scalpers. They've been hit big time though by like StubHub,
right?
eBay, right? Like going online and being able to buy tickets online,
right?
Which is basically scalping as well.
Well,
you know,
it's
you're
just,
bidding,
it's a vehicle to do that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I've bought tickets like that over StubHub and all that. But, like, the people that, I guess they would be old school, the guys out there on the corner.
Oh,
like
it is,
yelling up a storm. And
that's what I remember, like, one of my fondest, youngest, earliest memories is walking out of College Station on College.
Yeah.
Maple Leaf Gardens. And you walk out, oh, you would remember this. And the scalpers are just yelling. Who wants, who needs, who's buying, who's selling. That's all you can hear. You
it's
walk
part of
out
the atmosphere, like the and smell they, and the noises and get your programs.
They get to tilts, too, with each other.
Oh, they'll fight it out because usually it's crews. Like, it's kind of like a mafia setup. Like, my understanding is there's a Don that kind of runs the whole thing.
There's a scalper Don?
And that guy's got, like, a chauffeur. He's driving around in a Ferrari. Like, he is balling. And then he's got his lieutenants that are out there trying to sell the tickets, right? But, yeah, if you get stuck in their territory.
Yeah.
Trying to scalp on their gate 5 and you're supposed to be gate 7, I'm sure brawls would break out, absolutely.
Especially if you undercut them.
Oh, I would chop everybody off. I would do what you do in Jerry's percentages.
Oh, the
$75 take? Oh, 70, 70 here. Yeah. Any interest?
So you're saying you would be a scalper where another scalper was working on a deal and you'd walk up and say, whatever he's offering, $5 cheaper is what I'll
that's
give
a fist
whatever.
Fight.
Just a
that's
little
a
bit cheaper fight. to get your interest to see if you'll come
what
my
you
way.
What you got to do is gauge to see. If the guy's selling for $100 and you say 50, you're in a fist fight, I think, because those guys come over and they get choked.
I think you almost have to, right? It's the black market. Like you can't go to the police and say, hey, dude, I'm trying to scalp over here and this guy is trying to grease me. The cops are going to say, all right, you're arrested.
Yeah.
And that guy's arrested.
Yeah,
the black market, man. That's where it gets
gritty.
I'll tell you what. I know a scalper. He's a good buddy of mine. He's very helpful. If you just say, I want to go to the game, you just call him up, meet me here, give me a ticket, here's the cash.
Yeah, well, he's a scalper. That's the way it works.
I know, but it's nice to have one on the speed dial.
He's very helpful.
Well, yeah, but...
you pay him.
Great, you paid him. Like, are you really buddies? How close can you be when you're actually... You're literally using him as a scalper.
I'm just looking at it from a convenience angle.
Okay.
You're an idiot.
Let's bring in Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst on Overdrive, a presentation of Sierra Joint Formula 14. Do you think that guy is O's buddy or just his scalper?
He's like the black market Ticketmaster guy.
Right, exactly.
He's a friend.
Yeah, he's such a friend that he gives you a ticket that he's added 15% to. What a hell of a guy.
Yeah, I can meet you where I'm currently standing. Come find me and pay triple. Thanks, pal. And then he hangs up.
We were out in L.A., and I was with like four or five guys, and we got tickets to a USC football game. And we were so pumped. You know, we bought the tickets. It was right before kickoff, right on the 50-yard line. We scalped them. We're like, oh, this is going to be awesome. Look at us. We're right on the 50-yard line. And we look, and we're like, wow, five rows behind the bench. Oh, it's awesome. And you walk down there, five rows behind a football bench, you might as well be in a black room, like with no lights. You can't see anything.
Can't see anything. Like,
We looked at the back of these mammoth guys' heads for the first half, and we're like, this is stupid. And we went and found some seats in the student section and blew it out in the second half. But, man, we scalped. Oh, what a scam we had. We were so smart.
Well, they can really grease you, though, man. I had a buddy who went to Chicago for a bachelor party, like 15 guys, right. And they were going to scalp and go to a Bears game. And if you've been to Chicago – Soldier Field, it's kind of on an island almost. Like, yeah. To walk in, you all have to come through the same pathway for the most part, and it's like a kilometer long, if not more. So the scalper was right there at the front gate and sold them all these tickets, and they get up to the gate, and they were fraudulent.
Really?
So they dropped, you know, all this money, and they're like, we're never going to find this guy again. Like, he's a kilometer behind
us. Yeah.
He's gone. He's out of here. So they probably pumped... I don't know,
$1,500
$1,500 into his pocket.
Well, how many guys?
15 guys. Yeah, so they probably paid
$100 a pop.
Maybe $100 a pop. Maybe $1,500 into this guy's pocket, and he's like, "All right, I'm out of here. See you later."
And they say crime doesn't pay.
Oh, it pays, man.
Well, that guy was out of town by the time they walked a kilometer.
That's right.
I don't know. Have you ever been to New York? Ray, were you involved in the Islanders when we went downtown to New York City, and there was five or six of us, and we. This guy came out of a store and said, hey, we can get you VCRs for $75. And
we
all bucked up and gave this guy $75. And he went in and walked out the back door with our money. And we never saw him again. Of course, we're just tourist idiots thinking that we can get a good deal on a VHS. And the guy saw us coming a mile away. So we handed him $75 times six.
I want to say it was Perry Turnbull. I might be wrong, and I'm sorry if it is, but he bought a VCR from a guy in a street corner, you know, back in the day in the early 80s when they were new. The guy had the machine out. He looked at it. It was awesome, and he paid him whatever, a few $100, and the guy's like, yeah, here, I got it. There's one here. It's still in the box, and so he bought the VCR. He got it back to his room, opened it up. He was showing his room. He bought a rock.
I've heard about the rock in the box.
I'd rather a blank box than that. Like, the rock is so much more insulting.
How about that? The guy thought, man, had to have some weight in it, right? So he carried it away. And just look at my new VCR. I paid whatever he paid, $300, $400, and it's a rock.
All right, what's the age limit for the kids in order for a parent to be able to scalp? Like, you can't go up to scalpers with a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old.
Why?
And being like, I need. Well, because it's kind of a shady whole, it's a shady operation.
Nobody in the family cares. They just want to get in. They don't care how dad or mom has
to
do it.
So you're saying about bringing your child to have business with a scalper?
Right. I think your kids have to be teenagers, minimum.
Really?
I think so, too.
No way.
No chance.
My kids are 4, 5, and 7, and I would have no problem meeting my buddy saying, here, give me the things.
He's got a buddy, though. That's your buddy.
Would you call him uncle something? Would you tell your kids that it's uncle, like your real close friend?
Yeah.
It's uncle scalper? So-and-so, daddy. Why are you handing him so much money?
Why were you saying a different price than him? Why were you arguing?
I just don't think it's anything sinister. You wouldn't do it in front of your kids. Like, it's not.
I don't know. I guess it's more of like an image.
You're
thing.
Thinking, well, if something broke out, if you got into an incident, that's where.
Come on. It's not like you're going and sitting in a champagne room for 10. But are you chilling the back?
Are you negotiating? That's the thing. Are you actually negotiating?
Absolutely,
with these
you
guys?
Are. Yeah, you're sitting there. You're not just going to walk in and say, "Okay, I'll give you whatever you want." If you're going back and forth and it gets a little bit heated, and you've got a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old,
have you ever gotten heated with a scalper?
I don't know if it's heated necessarily, but we've gone back and forth. Like, if I've shown up late with a buddy, we're like, we're not paying that kind of price.
Just walk away.
Well, you could do that, but I don't want to go look for a different scalper. Like, maybe he's got the tickets that I'm looking for, and I'm trying to bargain here a little bit.
Maybe you're just lazy and you don't want to walk any further.
It could be that, and cheap.
Lazy and cheap.
And idiotic for not thinking of ahead. I knew I wanted to go to the game 3 weeks ago, and I didn't buy tickets.
Yeah, I'll get them. Oh, man, I got to go scalp them.
Here we go. With Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, we had this discussion off the air, and you guys are going to have this one on That's Hockey Tonight, the Rookie of the Year conversation. Like, now that we're about a week out from the regular season coming to an end, the awards are starting to be debated, although I feel like a lot of them are pretty much locked in. It feels like Kane's going to end up with the Hart. I think Holtby will end up with the Vezina.
Yeah.
There's certainly a debate with the Norris. Will it be Carlson? Will it be Doughty? But the Rookie of the Year debate might be the most interesting one. And everyone seems to be on different players.
Well, would you like to say what you said to me when you had to chime in while I was talking to other people?
I said I flipped.
You have flipped.
I was Panarin all year, and I'm 97 now. I'm McDavid.
You know what? You're buying into the TSN hype. We love McDavid. It's McDavid, McDavid, McDavid. And you have completely forgot about that night at Air Canada Center when you know who you watched?
I watched Panarin put on an absolute clinic. He was unbelievable. He was brilliant.
So a guy that's played 42 games has totally wiped that from your memory.
You know what really sold me was, Ray, you guys were talking about it last night, that Eichel is having this brilliant year, and McDavid's right behind him, and he's played like 37 less games. I don't think you have a wrong answer here, but I don't think saying McDavid should get the Calder is outrageous. What do you make of it, Ray?
Well, as you know, there's nothing that bothers me more than when I agree with you. Like, it really bugs me.
Right.
And so I actually have been on Panarin's bandwagon almost all year. And I now have him third on my ballot behind McDavid and Goss to spare.
So McDavid's number one for you now.
I think he's got rookie of the month 3 times, doesn't he? He only played 3 months.
But he only played 45 games.
That's the only challenge for me, Ray. I think there's no – I don't think there's a debate if he played the whole season. But the thing that I brought up is that, you know, part of playing the whole season is going through the ups and downs. And that's, you know, obviously he's had ups when he played, but there's no guarantee that he would have carried that off. And I'll use Sidney Crosby in his example, where he scored 2 goals his first 18 games. So would McDavid have gone through that stretch at some point? Sidney Crosby's the best player on the planet. He went through it. Would McDavid go through it? That's my only thing is...
Well, if it's not McDavid, for me, it's Goss to spare.
Yeah, I'm a ghost only because of that, because Ghost is a defenseman, and he's playing in meaningful games, like real meaningful games, and being an impact player.
Total disrespect to Panarin's season.
No, it's not. Two guys can't win. You got to pick somebody.
No, we have different opinions.
That's true, but, you know, Shane Goss to spare... isn't playing with Patrick Kane, and I think that will probably hurt Panarin.
So you're punishing him for his line mates. That's real fair. Real fair. Yep. He's having success because he's playing with creative people. You still got to put the puck in the net last time
I checked. And what's Connor McDavid done? He's playing with Patrick Maroon. He was playing with Nail Yakupov.
Dude, he had Pouliot for a while.
Pouliot. Pardon me?
He had Pouliot. That guy can snipe.
Oh, he's a hell of a player. Stop it, oh.
I'm telling you, Ray, believe it or not, if this guy had a different name than Connor McDavid, I don't think that hype would be around this. I really don't.
Is he over a point a game still?
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's like you guys are just drinking the McDavid Kool-Aid around here in this building, and it's not great.
In the building, though. I haven't been there in months.
You work in the building. You're part of the building.
Well, the only thing
I feel like part of the building today.
If you had seen the look on the guy's face when I said I'm not taking McDavid, the producer, it was like a part of him died. A part of him died.
Well, it's just an interesting debate. I mean, it's I don't think, to your point, Ray, I don't think there's a wrong choice here. There's a McDavid, if you're looking at just the best player, like, I don't think it's McDavid is the best rookie player. It's just because of the injuries, missed so many games, at what point do you saw it off? And I'll give you an example. This is a little bit different, but Brian Elliott has started 34 games. Should he be in the Vezina conversation? Because Braden Holtby's played 60-plus and had to go through the ups and downs.
No, because his name's Brian Elliott. It's not McJesus, and these guys aren't that horned up.
I'll answer that. The goaltending award is also it's partially a team award, too. It factors into your coaching. It factors into your defensive play in front of you.
And stuff. Yep.
How many great chances are there, you know, that you're actually facing? And Elliott has the luxury of playing in St. Louis.
Correct.
And
if Elliott's name was Carey Price, you guys would all have a different tune on it. I guarantee you.
Well, there might be something to that. But if Panarin didn't play in Chicago, we wouldn't talk about him as much as we do either, because he has the luxury of playing for the most popular team in the league, which is Chicago. And he happens to be line mates with the guy who's going to win MVP.
Yeah.
So whenever you throw on SportsCenter and the highlights are coming up, Panarin's coming up. So you can circle that around.
I think these are great, healthy debates. And it even goes back. I mean, Norris, everyone's arguing about whether it's Doughty or Carlson. You know, and then the advanced analytics guys say, or the analytics guys say, well, it should be Carlson hands down. And traditionalists say, well, Doughty's a, you know, overall better defenseman. Like, there's debates here. It's just, the thing is I don't have a dog in the fight because I don't have a vote. So,
neither do I, but I think when it comes to the rookie of the year, I mean, it's all arbitrary. That's the thing about these awards, is you can kind of make up your own rules. Like Gostisbehere, I think what could push him is he has been such an X factor for them getting into the playoffs. Like, he's kind of doing what Mark Stone did a year ago, and what he did to get Ottawa into the playoffs, and
right.
Philly is this year's Ottawa, and Gostisbehere has played kind of that role, different positions, of course.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, the NHL's lucky.
Do we totally disregard Jack Eichel in this conversation?
I don't think so. I think
who's that?
I think he's a guy that certainly deserves a lot of respect. But it's just.
But I mean, like, is he in your top three?
He's not in mine.
He's like three.
Like
he's like 3B.
Points.
Yeah, no, I know. He's been brilliant. He's been very, very good.
Yeah, but you know, again, we argue about this. You look at marketplace and success of team and stuff like that. I mean, you know, it's interesting. Like Reinhardt in Buffalo has been outstanding too. You know, there's players throughout the league. It's just, I look at the whole season. That's the only thing that has been a drawback for McDavid for me, because I want to see how he reacted through poor pockets of the season where he struggled and had to fight through and played, you know, three big games in four nights against the top dogs, going into LA, going into, you know, San Jose, Anaheim.
But Jamie, on that argument, then I would have loved to have seen Panarin play 20 games without Patrick Kane.
Yeah, you're right.
He played a lot of games with Jonathan Toews when Q decided to switch it up.
He's played over 2 hours. I saw this stat. He's played over 2 hours of ice time without Kane and has one assist.
That hurts. That stings for the Panarin pushers.
Yeah, well, I had Panarin was kind of farther down on my list.
I'm trying to go Johnny Cochran right now and think of something to say.
We'll give the glove.
Yeah. Something doesn't. My suit doesn't fit.
The M&M bag doesn't fit.
But it's
my suit doesn't fit.
That's why. I mean, I look at it. Maybe I'm a little bit more biased. I think it's a young defenseman in the league is really tough. And you look at his point production. And I know there's some zone starts and shielding and all of that. But. Down the stretch here, the Ghost has been a real big factor in Philadelphia having success. And that's
absolutely,
and that's kind of what's kind of pushed him forward for me. Where at McDavid, you know, again, we're all looking at quality of competition, and that, you know, they're, you could argue Edmonton's facing backup goaltenders every night. You could argue that, you know, Edmonton's not a team that, you know, is playing for anything. But yeah, his point.
But he also accomplished at one point a conversation league wide that revolved around, has Nail Yakupov figured it out?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, that was because of McDavid. Like, think about that type of power as a player.
I will say one thing. I was fascinated when I was a player how much these major awards was, like, media-driven. It's like when somebody jump, when they jump on a train about a guy, it just gains speed. And I'll tell you what, man, as a person in the media, I also find it fascinating. It's like, it just, if the tweets start and it's like, yep, and it's all the talk, and all of a sudden, but what the McDavid talk, we had a Jerry's percentage where if we find it, you said, no way is this guy going to win rookie of the year.
I was real
low. And you
low.
Started, you got brainwashed on your iPad when you're up late doing nothing, and you're like, you know, you walked in and you're like, I flipped.
I'm just being honest, man. Opinions are always subject to change.
You're allowed to.
No, but this is when the Jerry's percentage was out. It was right before he was coming back. And I said at the time,
we got to find that Jerry.
But my argument was, I didn't believe he could do what he's done. It wasn't about Panarin. It wasn't about Gostisbehere. It was about McDavid. I said at the time, I don't know if after 37 games off, you can come back and be as dominant. And guess what? He's been even more dominant.
Well, he's been good. There's
he's
no
been
argument,
outstanding. But you could argue that if you extrapolated over the whole year, he'd be up for the Hart.
But
like,
that's
he plays
the
a horrible
thing.
Team. But.
What if, though? That's the everyone's saying, well, if you extrapolated and sample size and all that, the problem is this guy's young career is going to max out at 45 games played. And to me, that's a half a season.
And it's disrespect to a guy that played a full season.
Well, the Ghost is only going to have play just over 60.
That's enough for me.
But, I mean, Ray, where are you on this? I mean,
Ray's already said he's on the McDavid.
But he said,
because
on
you
the
guys called each other last night. You like
I know,
this
but
idea.
I want to see where Ray is on games played. That's where. That's the only thing.
I would love to have seen McDavid play more games. I'm astounded that he's won the Rookie of the Month three times, I believe.
Yeah, three times. Yeah,
and he's won it every month he's been in it.
And he's been healthy, yes.
I find that amazing. I'm astounded by watching him. And oh, you're right about the media getting onto the train. It's like, it's almost like the local media for whichever player, and you can pick on any of these awards. It's like they're an extension of the PR department. Like, why would they care? Why wouldn't you just analyze it and then pick? I mean, if you like Erik Karlsson and you happen to be from LA, then pick Erik Karlsson.
Yeah.
But it never seems to happen. It's got that, you know, there's a clear, like, company line, and you're defensive and protective of the guy that plays in your city, but it's like an avalanche. You can't stop it.
Well,
if I read any more stats about Erik Karlsson comparing him to Bobby Orr, holy smokes. Like, what? Why?
That has
I
to
guess
stop.
I guess it's interesting, but how does that matter?
Well, the thing that I struggle with, and I watch a lot of hockey, is that we get to watch a lot of hockey out east, the traditional fan, because of the time zone. So when you're talking about guys like, to me, I think Oliver Ekman-Larsson is a guy who's lost in the mix all the time because nobody watches Arizona games, not many, or Drew Doughty. They don't stay up till watch the 10:30 start out in L.A. And, I mean, Brent Burns has had an amazing season San Jose. But again, you're not staying up till 1:30 in the morning to watch him play every night. So you rely on other things. And to your point, Ray, you stay in your local market, and those guys are the best players, and that's it. You stick with them.
It is no doubt the rookie is the most fascinating vote this year, and it's pretty cool that the league seems to be in really great hands. As you transition from some older guys into some younger guys, and how many excellent young players there are that, you know, we're going to be watching for a long time. And it's pretty cool when they start and there's so many of them and you go, oh, that guy's really good. Wow, that guy's really good. Like, I'm in Buffalo last night, and Ristolainen is having a heck of a year. Plays 25 minutes a game. Reinhart and Eichel are both over 20 goals. That's just on Buffalo. And then I'll tell you that Lindbergh kid last night, not that he would be a Rookie of the Year candidate, but he's another really good young player. And then we've seen what, you know, all the kids that Toronto's run through there. You've got McDavid. There's Goss to spare this year, Provorov next year in Philadelphia. There's a pile of them, man. It's pretty cool time.
It's going to be a fun offseason as well when the draft kicks off and all those players get pumped into the systems league-wide as well. All right, buddy, we're out of here. Enjoy your weekend. We're back Monday at 5 p.m.
Later on. See you guys. Have a good weekend.
There he is, Ray Ferraro on Overdrive, a presentation of Cierzo Joint Formula 14.
Later on?
Later on. He's from the 80s, man. That was his era.
It was a nice little goodbye.
What is he, 89? Later on, Chop.
Later on. Steve Phillips is going to join us. And I believe Steve is picking the Jays to win the AL East. So we'll ask him why. Who is the closest competitor in the American League East? And we'll get him to make a couple of arguments. The glass half empty, what would go wrong? Glass half full, what would go right? And our boy, Pablo Sandoval, has been benched to start the season.
Really?
Benched to start the season. So we'll tell you more about that. And also the Jays were at a restaurant last night, and Chris Colabello got dared into trying to feed on this plate. 8 pounds of mac and cheese with lobster, $15,000 on the line if he could do it. We'll tell you about that next. Steve Phillips coming up here in just a minute. Cabby was in studio earlier, beaking us about our music. So we need to get more modern.
All right, in the 6 o'clock hour, let's bring in some like Bieber and some other.
I tried that to get it modern. Something happened where I was away and I came back and it was just a joke.
Nobody wants a dance party.
Yeah, you
Larry
play like
and Mark at a bowling alley.
You play like Euro beats though. Yeah. You're into
no,
like
I don't.
Weird music.
I play cool modern stuff and it just disappeared.
Well, it's because people complained.
They were complaining
the music. There were some people. Outside of a cabbie, I've never heard anybody else complain about the music.
There have been some people that will tweet and text in saying, dude, figure it out. You're playing Billy Squire out of the gate.
Wow, Billy Squire.
80s legend. Tunes, like left, right, and center.
Frank Stallone.
But that's a, he's a...
Wrestling music. I mean, it has been a little bit off the rails.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Anyway, Steve Phillips coming up here in a minute. So the Blue Jays are in Montreal wrapping up their spring training or preseason, basically, and they really get underway this Sunday down in Tampa. And Jose Bautista is on Twitter. He follows like 450,000 people on Twitter. I think he follows more people on Twitter than anyone else.
You follow him, you get an automatic follow back.
Basically, that's what it is. There's no way you could possibly be tracking all of that.
No.
But he's on Twitter, and he's pretty good on Twitter. He's on Instagram. He's very good on Instagram. And I guess a bunch of the players were out last night for a dinner, and they propositioned Chris Colabello. So they go to the Italian guy.
Yeah.
Right? The stereotype, the Italian guy can feed, and if you throw a pasta dish in front of him, it will be devoured immediately. They offered him $15,000 if he could eat every single bite of an 8 pound dish of lobster mac and cheese. 8 pounds of lobster mac and cheese, and he was contemplating it for like a half an hour, and finally he said, no, I'm not even going to take the challenge. I'm not even going to take a bite. I'll pass on that. But this is an example of rich guys doing the dumbest things, like $15,000 on the table.
Brian, when we used to get off bus rides, from the bus ride from the plane to the hotel, we'd play Chase the Ace for $100 a piece. And if there's 15 guys involved and you won two or three times, it's ridiculous.
Well, it's like, for your meal.
Every time. The meal money was considered an absolute joke. Like $100 for one, you get one. It's not even a game.
Yeah, you pass the
You win three times, it's like you're putting $2,000 or $3,000 in your pocket.
That's incredible.
It is weird.
Like anyone making less than $500,000 a year would pounce at this. Doesn't mean you'd actually get to finish it, but you would nosedive that dish. nosedive it and give it a college try, right? But this is such a rich young guy story.
Yeah, what about rookie dinners and stuff where you're blowing 30, 50?
It's crazy.
There's part of you that always says, this could go to way better.
I like
cost.
The old school hazing. I didn't mind that.
Oh, like physical hazing? Is that what you're a proponent
of? Crazy. I'm just saying, like, you just drink and have a good time.
All right. Again, I'm surprised they picked on the Italian guy here. That'd be the last guy I would have picked, because I could see Colabello just mashing this. Let's bring in Steve Phillips, our TSN 1050 Jays analyst. This Baseball Insider is brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln, your premier source for auto service and sales in the GTA. Steve, do you have a story of young, rich ball players doing the dumbest things with their money?
Oh, of course. By the way, yeah, going after Colabello, the Italian guy, I mean, he knows people. You know what I'm saying? Like, he knows people.
That's
I mean,
right.
I don't know if you want to mess with that guy, but, you know, I had a player, a pitcher, Brian Bohannon, who he had five kids and you know, he had a lot of mouths to feed. And he was at the time a kind of a borderline AAA major league pitcher. And so we flew from Florida to Las Vegas to start the season. We were going to play an exhibition game against the Mariners before we started the season in San Diego. So, you know, he was there and he was going to make the team. And that night they got there, he went out and he made $15,000 at the tables. And so he was rocking it. And then the next day we claimed the guy on waivers and he was told he was getting sent to the minor leagues. So he ended up having to stay behind after the team flew out after the game to San Diego and he was going to fly to the AAA team. He lost $25,000 that night. So between getting demoted to the minor leagues and losing the 15 he made and another 10, he blew it. So you know, we knew he was kind of a gambling guy, and we had the fan fest. And in January, he showed up, and he was 25 pounds overweight. He was a big guy. And he bet all his teammates that he would get down and lose 25 pounds before they reported to spring training, which was a month later. And they're like, no way. So he took $15,000 in bets. He paid $8,000 for liposuction and netted $7,000 at the end of the deal. So, I mean, this guy.
That is outstanding.
It's unbelievable, right? And that was so him. And so, yeah, there's the guys get a little silly with the money that they have, and they're willing to bet on anything, whether you'll eat something. And there's a saltine cracker trick out there that they always place on guys. And they take advantage of the young guys for sure.
Man, imagine getting lipo so that you win a bet.
Dude, I've thought about it just to weigh in. Steve, how much would you monitor guys? I mean, I know there's talk Sandoval starting on the bench, and my general manager when I played hockey, he would have that list of the guys' body fat, and he would be on guys all the time. And I've also had guys where they just didn't care, just get the job done. What were you like as far as that?
Well, you know, here's the thing. I never, when I was the assistant general manager, and I really wasn't in charge. I remember we had a couple of players show up to spring training, and we were shocked that they weren't in shape. And I thought, wait a minute, for the amount of money we're paying guys, and, you know, with a $100 million payroll, why are we not investing more in the year-round part of this game? And that, you know, we should be monitoring players in the offseason. I don't ever want to ever be surprised about a player showing up out of shape again. So I would send my training staff and strength and conditioning coaches and physical therapists to different locations, you know, centrally, and fly players in to work them out to make sure they were in shape. So we stayed on it pretty good. You know, it's tough because, you know, you there's a clause in the contract that says the players have to keep themselves in you know, top-notch physical condition. But, you know, it's somewhat arbitrary to what that means for everybody. It's a rather ambiguous definition. And for some guys, it means one thing. And I guess here's the way it looked. If you played great, then it didn't matter nearly as much as if you were bad, you better be in shape.
Yeah.
With Steve Phillips, our TSN 1050 Jays analyst. So the season kicking off this weekend, the Jays down in Tampa. And this is the time of year. Everyone's making predictions. Everyone's guessing who's going to win the divisions, the wild cards, who's getting to the World Series. But in order to have that prediction, you got to put some research into it and you got to sell it. So I'll put you on the spot, Steve. From the Jays' perspective, give us the glass half full spiel in order for them to have a successful year, and give us the glass half empty in terms of what would happen if it all fell apart.
Sure. I mean, here's the thing. I picked them to win the American League East. And the reason for it is that I know people question their starting rotation, but the reality is in the American League East, they have the second best starting rotation behind the Tampa Bay Rays. And I like the depth of the bullpen now with the fact that you have both Cecil and Storm leading up to Osuna. So I think the pitching depth is certainly going to be there. And they don't have the best starting pitching, but I think they have predictable starting pitching. And that they'll be good enough to be able to let this offense do their thing. Nobody matches them offensively. They outscored everybody by 127 runs last year. And that would, you know, the second place team had 127 less runs. I think they're going to score over 900 runs. They're a solid defensive team, and they're going to pitch enough to be able to support that staff. If things don't go well, it will be that the rotation implodes and that they have injuries, significant multiple injuries on the offensive side. Because, I mean, they should be able to sustain the loss of any one hitter, maybe one or two, and still score enough if the pitching is there. So I'm really bullish on the Jays this year. And the big part of it was being around them in spring training. We asked the question, is this about a fresh start, a new start for this team, or is unfinished business? And to a man, they spoke about the unfinished business, and they moved in packs in camp. That was the thing that really struck me, is that they went from station to station, clubhouse to dugout, dugout to batting cage, in groups and clusters of players, and that shows a level of unity that I don't know was always there.
Well, there was so much concern that the turnover in the front office might have a ripple effect on the team. And based on what you're saying, Steve, it doesn't feel like they even care. Like, it doesn't matter. Alex, Shapiro, Atkins, Beeston, who cares? The players and the manager, they're the ones grinding. And who cares what's going on upstairs?
Boy, I know that one firsthand. When I got fired, I was shocked that they played again the next day. I thought it would be over. Like, wait, the Mets are going to continue to play without me? And it comes down to, like, players don't really care about who it is that's doing the negotiating and trading. I mean, they're nice about it, but you know, they know those guys and us guys come and go, and as long as they get a uniform and if somebody signs their check, they're good. They liked Alex, and they miss Alex, I'm sure, but, you know, if as long as they believe they've got the personnel there to win, they don't really care. And Gibbons, I think John Gibbons and Pete Walker and the staff there do a great job with the continuity and the consistency and the accountability. And I think there's a renewed accountability in the clubhouse from player to player. They've got great leadership on that team. And they're really a group of guys that have had to scratch, claw, and fight for what they are today. I mean, Batista was nothing before he became something. You know, he was a journeyman guy and a utility man. Donaldson thought he was going to be out of baseball and was a failed catcher in the Cubs organization before he figured it all out. Pilar was a 28th round draft pick. Colabello played 7 years of independent league baseball. So, you know, you go around that team, there are guys that have had to fight for it, and so they've got a certain appreciation for where they came from.
So if you've got them winning the AL East, who is the closest competition? Is it the Sox, the Yankees, the Rays? You mentioned the rotation.
Yeah, I think the Yankees are the closest competition, like they were a year ago. I love the Yankee bullpen. Obviously, when Chapman joins them on March 9th after suspension, it gets even better. There's some doubt and some questions about their rotation, but those same questions existed last year, and I think they have more answers this year. I think Starling Castro is a great acquisition for them at second base, and he's going to have a terrific season. But Ellsbury and Gardner make them go offensively. They score enough runs, and they just have that sort of veteran pedigree. They know how to win. So I think they're going to be there. I don't like the Red Sox at all. I think they've got issues at first base and third base. And after, you know, between David Price and Craig Kimbrell, it sounds good at the beginning and at the end, but everything in between is a huge question mark. I don't know about the offense out of left field and Brock Holt and Chris Young and others out there. And so I think the Red Sox are going to have some struggles. And the Rays just don't have enough offense to support pretty good pitching. And their pitching, there's still some hopes and dreams there, but they do have some upside. And the Orioles are a mess. I mean, they're an absolute mess. Their pitching staff is in shambles. And quite honestly, pick any one of the Jays pitchers, and that guy would be the ace of the Baltimore Orioles. So, I think the Orioles are a last-place team this year.
Love it. Great stuff as always, Steve. We'll do it again soon. Enjoy opening weekend.
Okay, terrific, guys. Have a good weekend.
Steve Phillips, our TSN 1050 Jays analyst. This Baseball Insider is brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln, conveniently located at the QEW in Trafalgar Road in Oakville.
What do you think about your boy Josh Donaldson? I think sometimes guys pop up and they win an MVP. Or is he going to kind of get himself into Mike Trout territory where it seems like every year that you're talking about this guy?
Oh, I think he's already determined.
I was going to ask that question to Steve, actually.
Yeah, no, I think I'd be willing to put big money. I'd put LiPo on the line.
That Donaldson's going to be
one of those guys where at the end of this year you're going to say it's going to be Trout, it's going to be Donaldson.
Yeah, I think he'll be in the running. Like, that doesn't mean he'll win it, but I think I don't
just
expect
get
him
in the conversation.
The thing is about him last year is, like, he was consistent all the way through. And when right. they took off in August, he may have had his best month. He was brilliant in August. And Trout had it down.
The timing of everything was perfect.
Everything worked. And he was also that big moment guy, right? Like, how many times would you be watching a game and you're like, oh, Donaldson's coming up in the ninth and they need a home run?
Dude, not even that. Just, like, getting home. You remember that steal or the getting at the just getting to home plate. And he went around. Everything. The jersey comes off and he goes crazy. The crowd goes crazy. Like, he had perfect timing on everything last year.
Everything worked for him, but that's because he's a legitimate talent. He works hard. He's a grit grinder.
Dude, he busts his ass, man.
So you think he's a—I mean, he's a superstar, but you think he's a consistent superstar that, you know, he's always going to be in that MVP
Absolutely.
Type of conversation?
Like, I'd be surprised if he wasn't, like, a top 10 player in the American League. I can't guarantee he'll be the best
right.
or top two or top three or top five. I mean, it fluctuates every year, but if Donaldson, by the end of the year, we're not looking at his stats and saying anything— short of, hey, that's a top 10 player, I'd be very surprised.
It's so hard. It's so hard to win. I mean, one of your good friends, Jerome, he won one Hart Trophy, didn't he?
No.
He lost that year to Joe.
Well, that's stiffed by Theodore.
It's the voting system because that's where I come back to. No, he lost to Jose Theodore, which was an absolute travesty, and I blame the media there because there were some dopes that didn't even have Jerome as number two on their ballot because they wanted to sue him.
The media.
That was an embarrassment.
David for this guy.
Well, no, but that was Montreal media that were front and center for Jose Theodore. But that being said, Theodore had a great season. They made the playoffs. Jerome's team didn't make the playoffs.
That's the year they went all the way to the Cup final, too, I believe.
No, it isn't. We beat them out in the first round.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I thought that was 04. Just take it easy
over there.
Yeah, just relax, all right? 50 Hours in Vegas is back. Today's question of the day on Twitter. Who on the Blue Jays were the boys take along on their trip to Vegas and why? Tweet us your answer at TSN 1050 Radio. Use the hashtag 50 Hours in Vegas for your chance to win a grand prize, a trip for two to Vegas with $1,000 of spending money. Future headlines in the 6 p.m. hour. We'll update the bar play bracket and April Fools. What would be the greasiest April Fools to play on a Toronto sports fan? This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog. Your drive home just got a lot more fun on TSN 1050, the voice of Toronto sports.
All right, future headlines at 6:30. We'll look back on the Leaf game last night, tee up the weekend for the Raptors and the Blue Jays. Get you updates on the bar play bracket. Two semifinals currently underway online. Best bets brought to you by ProLine as well. It's all coming up in the final hour. This is Overdrive, TSN 1050.